Okay. Well, I want to give my greetings to everyone that has tuned in. And we have good news for you today. We're anxious to share the good news of the gospel with you. And before we do, we want to ask God's blessing, because we all recognize that we can't save you. We can only present the gospel of the grace of God to you. So let's ask God's blessing upon his word. Father, we turn to thee. We ask your help in this short presentation of the gospel. We pray for each one that is tuned in. Thou knowest, Lord, the condition of each heart. Thou knowest where they are. We thank thee for the hymn that we have just heard played and sung. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, that you receive us just as we are. So we ask for liberty and help, and we commit this next 30 minutes or so to thee. And we bless thee and give thee thanks, Lord Jesus. In thy worthy and precious name, we ask it. You know, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you why you turned into this message today. I believe there are many that turned in because they have been saved by the grace of God. And I want to ask your help today, because I believe there are others that perhaps are listening for various reasons. Not because they're saved. Maybe you go to meeting. Maybe you attend a Christian place of worship. But the great question today is, do you belong to the Savior? That's what matters, okay? We just heard about people that are dejected, that are rejected, that are wounded. Some of the other words. And you know, the Lord Jesus is the only one. He is the remedy in himself. I often say, as I speak on this portion, that the Lord wants to save you. Satan is happy to have you in many different ways. He's happy to have you as an addict. He's happy to have you as an immoral person. He's happy to have you as one that is addicted to alcohol. He's happy to have you as somebody that's just indifferent. You're none of those bad things. You're just indifferent. You know, there's another way he's happy to have you. He's happy to have you as a religious person. I want to tell you, the last thing that we would want to do today is make you a religious person. Our desire today is that you might be saved, by the grace of God, and that you would come to the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm in John 3, for those of you that want to turn along with me. And I'm going to read to you. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. The same came to Jesus. I want to emphasize that for you, okay? The same came to Jesus. Why did he come? Who was working behind the scenes? We're going to realize in a few minutes that this man was a ruler of the Jews. His reputation was absolutely at stake. He was a master. He was a master in Israel. And here he is laying all this aside, and he comes to Jesus by night. As far as his religion was concerned, he had everything to lose. As far as Christ was concerned, there was everything for this man to gain. But you know, I want to ask you, have you been to him? Have you stopped to think, why did I tune in to this message today? We had Zacchaeus before us last night in the Bible study. What was it that moved Zacchaeus to go and to leave that place as a tax collector, to go and to climb in that tree to inquire which way the Lord was coming, and to climb up in that tree that he might see him? I'm going to suggest to you, in both these cases, the Spirit of God works in the heart of man, works in the heart of young people, to ask you, have you considered eternity? Have you considered that which your mind cannot encompass? When you think about eternity, you get dizzy. Emil reminded us this morning, didn't he, of time. Time is for now. Time is for the earth. When I come to the matter of eternity, I cannot imagine what it is. I do not have a mind that's capable of looking at these things. But this man Nicodemus thought about this. He thought about his reputation. He thought about the miracles that he had seen. He thought about the things that he had heard. And finally, that day came when he said, you know what? I'm going to go to this man. To Nicodemus, he was just a man at this time. He was only a man. And it says that he came to Jesus by night. You know what? I found people that take exception with that, that he would wait till the nighttime to come. That's okay. Nicodemus did what we all have to do. He came, and he came telling the Lord what he knew. Now, you know, that's a bad thing. It's far better to come the other way and to ask the Lord what he knows about you and I, what he knows about my past, what he knows about where I've been, what he knows about how I spend my time. But more important than all of this, what he knows about the condition of my soul. The Lord Jesus knows where you are. He knew where Nicodemus was. And what a wonderful thing. I want to tell you that perhaps of the people in the New Testament that we know of, I'm not sure that there was a man of higher credentials as far as his life was concerned than Nicodemus. I think that he was a good man as far as good men are concerned, but he was a lost man. And so he comes to the Lord and he begins to speak unto him. He says, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, but God be with him. The Lord Jesus has some striking words for Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you cannot even see the kingdom of God as a man in the flesh. You cannot enter the kingdom of God as a man in the flesh. I'm jumping down for those that are following to verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Let me tell you, the flesh will never make you inquire about Jesus. The only thing the flesh would do with you would be maybe to make you a religious person, but you would still be lost. A religious man, a religious woman that does not know Christ as your own Savior. And so the Lord reminds Nicodemus of this in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. How many of us have ever seen the wind? Have you ever seen wind? I've seen the effects of wind. I've seen the destruction of wind. I've felt the coolness of the breeze when it is blowing softly. But I'll tell you, I've never seen the wind. The wind here, he says, everyone that is and bloweth where it listeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Nicodemus didn't understand these things. Nicodemus gives that question that many have given, how can these things be? Have you ever asked that? Have those words ever come from your lips? How can these things be? I'll tell you, there's a much better word to come from your lips. And this word came from the mouth of the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? Do you know what? We today present a person to you. We don't present activities to you to go into. We present a person, and that person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that gave his life, the one that sacrificed everything for this word to be able to be sent to you. And I'm going to go on down. I'm going to go on down to this little verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. My dear young person, are you familiar with the story? Are you familiar with the people of God that murmured the professing people of God, I should say. They murmured, they complained, and God sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit him. They bit them. Left and right, they bit them. I well remember a doctor from a neighboring town mentioning in a gospel meeting, "Do you know the hardest thing that I have to say to anybody that I treat? It comes when I have to tell them, your case is terminal. There is no help from man. You are going to die. You have maybe 3 months left. Maybe you have 4 months left." I also realize we live in a world of people that think they have a lifetime left. And every day we read in the news and we pick the newspaper up and we see people that have passed into eternity, that were young, that weren't expecting it. Man doesn't expect to die. But here was the case. And so there is, in the time of Numbers 21, Moses is told to take this pole and put upon the pole a serpent of brass. Do you know what brass speaks of? Brass speaks of that which the Lord Jesus went through as he went outside the gate of Jerusalem. And as he suffered once the just for the unjust, that he might bring you and I unto God. What was it for him to be made sin? I cannot even comprehend such a thought, that this blessed man who lived and walked here for 33 years was hung upon a cross, horrible, indecent things done to him, none of those things which would have saved him, us, but then came 3 hours of darkness. Then came the time when God, as the judge, would pour out all his judgment. Do you know who it was poured out on? It was poured out on my substitute. It was poured out on the one that you can claim as your Savior today. It was poured out on the one that suffered those terrible things. But do you know what he's going to do? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's still working today in this sin-filled world to bring many sons unto glory. That's the whole object of the gospel. The gospel is not to change the world that you and I are living in. This world is not going to be changed until the Lord Jesus comes back to set his kingdom up. But one by one, he is changing lives. He is taking young people. He is taking old people. He's taking children. And he's changing dramatically the way that they're going. He gives them a 180 turn. He takes them from the broad road that leads to destruction. He takes them to the narrow pathway that speaks of belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you, could you compare yourself with Nicodemus? Nicodemus maybe just came to hear these things. And maybe you just flipped on this afternoon because you just wanted to hear, well, what is going on with all of those that I like to spend time with at Grove City? I like to spend time with them in the local assemblies. I like to spend time with them at Spruce Lake. But wait a minute. Are you on the same pathway that they are on? Have you trusted Jesus? Have you said, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner? I'm convinced those are the most difficult words that will ever come out of the mouth of anyone living here. I am a sinner by nature. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? That my nature is a fallen nature. I am a child of Adam. I am a member of a condemned race. And there's nothing that I can do to help myself apart from what the Lord Jesus has done for me. But not only am I by nature a sinner, I am a sinner by practice. Now, that's quite a different thing. That I realize that God doesn't need a hard drive. He knows everything that I have done, everything that I have said, every callous word, every careless word that has ever been uttered. He knows all about you and I. His eyes are naked and open unto you and I. So, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever, what a wonderful word that is. What are the limits to that word? Whosoever believeth, now mark this, in him. That's the real thing. It's not believing that Jesus Christ lived upon this earth, walked a good life here, and was crucified and went back to glory. No, it's believing on him as my Savior, believing on him that is the one who has paid the price for my being set free. You see, I was a slave of Satan. I was in bondage. I couldn't help myself. That was the condition of each one of us. And this is the one that has set us free. He says here, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Oh my, I believe as I come to this verse that I see two separate destinies. I see some perishing, and I see some who have eternal life. Which one is you? Where do you stand? I want to tell you again, it's not a question of whether you go to meeting, whether you go to some denominational church somewhere, whether you've recited certain words, whether you've said certain things, whether you've done certain things. We know many people that so-called join a church, they say, that they might be saved. No, it's none of these things. It's confessing that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Again, the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then we come to this wonderful, wonderful 25 words in this verse. And some that have heard me speak have always heard me say, this verse is divided in two, and word number 13 is him. 12 words on either side, 25 words. The Lord Jesus right in the middle. God so loved the world. That is a hard thing for man in the flesh to be able to contemplate. That the Lord Jesus and God the Father loved me when I was an enemy. When I was an enemy, when my mind was terrible, when I was estranged from God by wicked works that I had done, God loved me. And I tell you, dear young person or older one that's listening, he loves you so much. God so loved the world that he gave. What wondrous giving. What wondrous giving that the Son of God took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, humbled himself, the word tells us, obedient unto the cross, even unto his death, even unto the death of the cross. All this for you. All this that you might not be one that perishes, but that you might have the eternal life that he's spoken of. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, that the gospel is about. The gospel is about choices. The gospel is about what pathway am I going to go on. The gospel is about, am I going to accept what God has done, or am I going to accept the words of Satan? Satan says, you have time. Satan says, there's tomorrow. Satan says, well, you know, that's just his opinion. That's just him speaking. You can set these things aside for a little while. That's just him speaking. Or you can accept that that is the Son of God that speaks to you. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. I hope you realize that. I'm not just speaking of the United States, Canada, England, Netherlands, Australia. I'm talking about the world. The world is what is set before us. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You say, what is God's will as far as mankind's concerned? I don't think it could be any clearer. I don't think it could be any clearer than realizing that this was God's purpose in allowing his beloved Son to come into manhood, to come to that manger, to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know what that means? As rags. And to live his life here, a poor man, a man that didn't have a place to lay his head. Birds had nests, and others had their holes that they were in. But the Son of Man hath not whereof to lay his head. And it was that blessed one who set his face to go into Jerusalem, knowing what awaited him, knowing what mankind would do, knowing that in just a few hours, there would be those that would be spitting in his face. There would be those that would be condemning him, mocking him, making fun of him, saying to him, come down from the cross and we will believe you. But oh, how, dear young person, the Lord Jesus had something else in mind. And that was you. He had you on his heart. And he said, I will go to that cross. The verse in Isaiah that says, who will go for us? Here is the one that said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. He came to this earth to die. I hope you realize that. I hope you don't look upon the Son of God as a martyr. I hope you look upon him as the sacrifice that would enable you to have life, life in Christ. Well, we will thank the Lord for these verses. I do want to finish this. He says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Wow. That's where you stand. You're not on a fence. You're not in the middle. You are condemned as you sit right now listening to these words. He is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light, Jesus, light, is come into the world. And this is a world that is characterized by men loving darkness. Does that characterize you? Are these words making you uncomfortable? Do you feel like that? I hope Brother Chuck is done pretty quickly, because I don't like to think of what this means for me. Men love darkness. No. Rather than light, for their deeds were evil. We're going to just close in prayer. And I'm going to encourage you, if the Lord has spoken to you through these words, please get on your knees and talk to the Lord Jesus. Ask him to save you. Confess your guilt before him. And we just commit this meeting to thee. Thank you for allowing me this time, and we commit these words to the Lord. Loving God, our Father, you know the heart of each one that has heard these words today, and we commit this to thee. We pray for our young people. We pray for those, Lord, that are listening to these lectures that have been saved by your grace. And we ask your blessing, and we especially pray for those listening that have not been. We commit this to thee. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus, in your worthy, precious name we ask you. Amen.